started. So it says over here. It says the Ramban. So let's open up the Chumash. Thank you, Bubs. So it says about Bnei Aharon. Okay. So sorry, I should have opened this before. So it says at the beginning of Perek Yud. Vayikhu Bnei Aharon Nadav Aviu Ish Machtaso Vaytnu Behen Eish. Vayasimu alei ketores, vayakivu lifnei Hashem eish zora shelotzi osam, vateitze eish lifnei Hashem, vatochal osam vayamusu lifnei Hashem. Okay. Vayomer Moshe al Aaron, hu asher diber Hashem lemor. This would happen is what, about what Hashem said. Bikrovai akadish, I'll be sanctified amongst those who are close to me. Valpnechol ha'am mechabed, I'll be become honored in front of the entire nation. Vayidom Aaron, and Aaron was silent. So it says over here in the Ramban. Thank you. Where did Hashem say this? V'nikdash b'chvodi. I will be the pasher reading of the words. I will be sanctified amongst those who honor me. Amongst my honor, ela b'mechubadi. I will be sanctified amongst those who honor me. Give me honor. Meaning to say that those who are very close to me and always would give me kavod. Those are the people who somehow I want with me to be mekadesh me, or somehow I'll be mekadesh the Mishkan with those who will then be close to me. So, you can read this in slightly different ways, but the idea being that somehow Hashem says, in order to mekadesh the Mishkan, to have Asharas Hashchina, this thing needs to happen. Amar la Moshe li Aaron, Aaron achi yodea ha'isi she'is kadesh habayis bim yod'av shal ha'kadesh baruch. Moshe said, Aaron is quoting Rashi. Quoting the Medrash, that I knew that somehow this house, the Mishkan, had to become sanctified through those who know Hashem. It's interesting in the kind of in Yonah Dioma, but at the Levaya 2 days ago, so Rav Zilberstein, I never like. It's interesting to think about it this way. He said there was a big Ace Ratzon, right? Everybody should daven for what they need to daven for. Everybody should, if there's a Cholim or Siyata Dishmaya, whatever it is, because it's a big Ace Ratzon. So you don't think about the death of a gadol, of a tzaddik, as an Ace Ratzon. But it seems to be something similar based on this idea that Hashem said that somehow this is going to be, because obviously we believe in Olam Haba, we believe that the world is only a prosdor. And therefore, somehow the fact that Hashem's saying a part of this master plan is that I need these people close to me, and somehow that's actually a good thing for Klal Yisrael. So too, said Hashem, that these people are close to me, this is going to be a good thing for kind of being able to bring my Shekhinah to our world, to this physical world. So I thought, Vaisi Sabar Obi Obecha, was going to be through me or through you. Akshav Aniro Hashem Gidolim Mimenu Umimcha, Lashon Rashi. Right, Midrash Rabbah Seinu. So now I realize that your sons were even greater than us. So based on this, meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu's words are words of Nechama. Meaning he said that this is supposed to happen. As incredibly painful as this is supposed to have happened. And now we realize how great your children were. So it's a big Nechama. Okay. So the idea that Hashem will become sanctified in front of all the people, in front of those who honor him, I guess maybe Moshe and Aaron, everybody's going to know that Hashem is sanctified by what he did with these people. I'm dwelling amongst Am Yisrael. Someone, this is what I needed to do. Again, what the exact idea of Nikdash Bechvodi is, we have to think about more. I actually didn't think about it enough before I started talking. But that's somehow this idea. Rabbi Avram Gam Ken Amar, Hu Asher Dibir Hashem Leimor. The Ibn Ezra also says, what does it mean Hashem said this saying? Right. So according to the Medrash, according to Rashi, V'niktash Bechvodi. So according to the Ibn Ezra, where did Hashem say this? Again, just to keep it in mind, we're now in Vayikra. V'niktash Bechvodi is in Shemos. Okay? It's in last Sefer in terms of the binyan of the Mishkan. So it wasn't like said, you know, a parak before. It was said much earlier, but still that's what it was a reference to. So according to the Ibn Ezra, it's referenced to something else. Hu Asher Dibir Hashem Leimor, Kfar Amar Li Hashem. Hashem had told me that his holiness will be seen amongst those who are close to him. They're so close to him, Hashem is going to take them with him. I don't know. There's one time, I forget if I was Rav Waxman for Shabbos, maybe it was Pacha, this is going back like 20-something years. I guess Rav Waxman, if he remembers the story, but there's a maisa that they say about the Rebbe Lubavitch, Lubavitcher Rebbe, that when he was at some sort of a bringing or something, he had a towel that he would hold onto the table with, and like somehow it would give him a good grip, because he thought if he doesn't hold on to something physical, he's just going to like leave this world. He's going to leave the world. And like afterwards, he was like soaked with sweat. Like he was like momish, like holding on tight, that he shouldn't leave. So that's what it's saying here, according to Ibn Ezra. Asher kedushas of grov me'elav ketam rak atem yadatem mikol mishpachos ha'adama. That his holiness will be seen amongst those who are so close. They're so close to him that he's gonna bring them away, bring them to him. They're so close to him. Okay. Ketam rak atem yadati mikol mishpachos ha'adama bikrovai ekadesh. Like, I don't think it's like the lashon of the pasuk, but the idea of the pasuk. Right? Like it says in the pasuk in Amos, right? Mine also says it over here. Right? Yidati mikol mishpachos ha'adama. I knew you, and I knew Am Yisrael amongst all the families of the world. So meaning to say, says the Ibn Ezra, "Kasher ere bam kedushasi zu az eya nichbat al pnei chol ha'am v'yir mimeni." When my holiness is seen through them, they see how close they were to me. That they just like were brought with this heavenly fire out of this world. So everybody is going to be is going to have a yir shamayim and also somehow appreciate me more. V'im kein hu dibur lo nechtav. According to the Ibn Ezra, this hu asher dibur Hashem lemor v'kervaya kadesh. It's not like there's a pasuk. Not like according to Rashi, according to the Medrash, where it says v'nikdash v'chodi. It's no specific pasuk. It means I knew this idea. I knew this idea, says Moshe Rabbeinu. Ki Hashem hodio drachav shekach hamida hazos lefanav. Somehow Hashem informed me. It's not written down anywhere. Hashem informed me his drachim that when those who are very close to him, he'll take them and use them to be mekadesh im shamayim, to instill yir shamayim. So I knew this idea, but I didn't know where it was going to happen until now. Okay. But according to, it would seem both according to the Ibn Ezra and according to the Medrash of Rashi, the point of Moshe Rabbeinu's speech to Aaron is to be menachem him. Like, see how close your sons are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he's taking them and he's using that to instill Yir HaShamayim and Kvod Hashem amongst all of Am Yisrael. Not that according to the Ramban, it's not, but it's a little bit different. The way I'm reading the pasuk says the Ramban, we don't need any of these ideas that somehow Hu Asher Dibir Hashem Lemor, we've looked back in Sefer Shemos, or according to the Ibn Ezra, you just see this idea somehow it was conveyed to Moshe Rabbeinu at some point about the midos of Hashem. We don't need to get there. Ki Dibir Hashem, Ki Dvar Hashem, Kzerosav, Machshavosav, Inyan Drachav. What does it mean, Hu Asher Dibir Hashem? What is the word of Hashem? That means his Kzeros, I'm not sure if that's a good English word, his decrees, his thoughts, his ways, v'adibor yomar b'chol eile. The word dibor, b'yachas takarish baruch hu, in relation to takarish baruch hu, right? It's all l'saber sa'ozen. It doesn't mean Hashem's actual speech necessarily, because Hashem doesn't speak. Even in Nebuah, meaning maybe by Harsina there's like a physical sound, I don't know, maybe not, but there's some sort of sound. But the idea of Hashem's dibor, it's not like a physical dibor. It means the way he's conveying his ratzon. So says the Ramban, anything, his machshava, his gzeros, his inyan drachav, all that's called dibor. Hu asher dibor Hashem. Dibarti ani im libi, meaning Hashem says I spoke to, or I don't know if it's Hashem, maybe Shlomo Melech, I spoke to my heart. Meaning to say, it doesn't mean actual physical speech. It doesn't mean speech. Chashavti machshavazu. I mean this idea I thought. That's what it's saying in Kavalas. Veze davar asher hadavar asher mal Yoshua. Mal Yoshua, is that the pasuk? Okay, I guess it's talking about the mila. This is the matter that Yoshua circumcised. I mean to say that the davar doesn't have to mean speech, it can mean a thought. Ze ha'inis, this is the idea. Al dvar ha'kesef, meaning the brothers, when they're going with Yosef, when they're going to the Eved, the Masharis of Yosef, and they're saying, oh, no, I'm sorry. When they were taken, and they're having issues with their brothers, and one of them's going to be taken into jail, they're being accused of being spies. So, oh, it's al dvar ha'kesef. They're being brought back to the palace. No, I think it's by Yigash. When they're being brought back, they thought they're being brought back because of the money. Okay, fine. I mean, but devar doesn't mean speech. It means the inyan. V'chein v'tia ishal ben adonecha kasher diber Hashem by Eliezer, meaning by whoever it was, Lavan, whoever was saying it. Yeah, we know this is Hashem said that our sister, our daughter, is supposed to be the wife to the son of your master. Kasher diber Hashem, even though there's no sivui about it before, but Gazar, this is all part of Hashem's decree. V'chamohu be'aviram bechoro yasto v'skuv tziro hitziv dilatea kidvar Hashem asher diber yad Yoshua binun. Also the idea of who is it? Who built Yericho? Wow, gotta go back to Yoshua. But meaning that Hashem said that, you know, he's gonna, with his when he started building it, his bechor died, and when he finished building it, his youngest son died. What's that? Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, okay. So that's what we're saying. Even though it didn't, So even though Hashem didn't actually say that these children are going to die, but Hashem had this general decree, and that's what it means. Diber. So what the Ramban is saying is, Hu Asher Diber Hashem Lemor, don't look back, like see like which pasuk is it referring to, or even according to Ibn Ezra, like when did HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveal this to Moshe? It's just that the fact that he did it, that means he did it. Hu Asher Diber Hashem, that is Hashem's decree. Okay, so now the Ramban can explain what he means. Vine Amar Moshe Hamikre Hazeh, Hu Asher Gazer Hashem Lemor Elibo Bekrovaya Kadesh. Shel Yeherusu El Kedushasi. The Hashem decreed that this is what needs to happen. Not that, it seems like, if I'm understanding the Ramah correctly, it's not even so much Nechama. It's Moshe Rabbeinu, it's almost, I think, leading into the next part of the Pasuk. That Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Aaron, this needed to happen. Hashem decided this is what's supposed to happen, that people should realize, that Havira Shemayim realize that they can't get too close to the Kedusha, too close to the Mishkan, and Hashem decreed, Ad Kedei Kach, that your children have to be killed. Hashem decided that this needs to be done. Maybe even it's almost a little bit critical. We need to take a harsh stance. Maybe something Eish Zara. Maybe something was done that shouldn't have been done. Hashem said we need to take a harsh stance. People have to mechabe the Mishkan. Again, this is the beginning of the avodah of the Mishkan. If at the beginning we're not going to kind of set it in a certain direction where people are going to have very clear boundaries, then who knows what could happen in the future. So Hashem said, Hu Asher Diber Hashem. Hashem goes there right now. Nothing in the past. This needs to happen. Okay. V'tam v'idom Aaron she'eboche bakol v'az shasa. So v'idom Aaron. We just think about the word v'idom Aaron. Okay, he was quiet. But says the Ramban, no, Aaron was wailing. Aaron was wailing. Meaning, think about it. His two sons were just killed, and he's in the middle of the what's supposed to be the Chanukah Samishkan. Everybody's so happy, and Aaron is just he's just wailing. He's crying. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to him, according to the Ramban, Aaron, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided this is what needs to happen. And Aaron stopped. But according to Va'ash Shasak, according to the footnotes, as see how it says it there in the Torah Chaim, in the Blue Chumash, the way he explains it, according to this first pshat, Aaron was still kind of like, he was like still crying, just like not out loud. Okay? Well, he was sobbing, right? But he wasn't wailing. Vashasak, meaning to say that first he was Bokeh Bakol, Shasak. And Moshe was saying, Aaron, I understand, but we need to stop. This is a part of Hashem's Gzeira. And then he was crying quietly. Okitam, the second shot is Ve'elti Dom Bas Einecha, whatever, to see the context of that pasuk. I think that's understood to be saying the second shot is that maybe he completely stopped crying, according to the second shot of the Ramban. Either way, according to Rashi slash the Medrash, according to the Ibn Ezra, it seems like the idea of this whole exchange between Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron is to say, Aaron, I know it's incredibly painful, but look at the big picture. This is wonderful. Your children are so special. Your children are so holy. Hashem said in Sefer Shemos, "Nikdash bechvodi," and I thought it was going to be me or you. Look how holy your sons are. And Vayidom Aaron Mistam is because it's kind of acceptance of that consolation. But according to the Ramban, it's Hashem saying, Moshe is saying Hashem was gozer. Hashem said we need to do this. He needs to do this. Take out this stand that people should have clear boundaries in the Mishkan. And Aaron, you need to accept it. And Vayidom Aaron, and he accepted it. Could be even then he was still crying inside, but he accepted it. It's a little bit of a harsher take on this whole story. So now, if you look at, so catharsis, I quoted two things from Rav Soloveitchik. One is Halachic Man, pages 77 and 78, and one is Catharsis, pages 47 through 49. That's a little bit of a misrepresentation of Catharsis because it only has 17 pages. But it was printed in tradition, like the book, the thing tradition from the RCA. So like it started on page 38. I really recommend reading that at some point. When I was your age, I pounded all the Rav Soloveitchik and other English stuff in the Otzer. Now you guys have a refreshed library, so I recommend taking a look at it. A lot of the stuff that I learned like is really from then. I just kind of reference back to it. So I should probably do Chazar at some point. But if you look at Halachic Man, so these notes are actually on the other side of the page here. These notes are actually my wife's notes, not my wife's. My wife's. So very nice. What's that? I know, because what I had to do, at first I had to copy, and then I had to copy the copy, because they're actually, 77 and 78 is the second page, and then the next page, you know what I mean? If you're curious, you can look at the original. But it says over here, so Rav Soloveitchik here is talking about the idea of the halachic man. Some have even said Rav Soloveitchik here is, he's not saying it, but he even means to be a little bit critical of some of the Mesorah in Brisk. But the Pshat Lechorah is not that way. He's not being critical. He's just describing. It says over here, let's see, where should we start from? Okay. His effective life, I guess from the very top, his effective life, I guess the way he like behaves, is characterized by a fine equilibrium. He's always like not at any extreme. A stoic tranquility. It exemplifies the Aristotelian golden mean. Again, without getting into the whole halakha, I mean, he's describing who he thinks the ideal Jew is, basically. Okay, the Aristotelian golden mean and the idea of the well-balanced personality set forth by Maimonides, right? The idea of the Shvila Zav. It is guided by the knowledge of inevitability and the means of triumphing over it provided by the rule of halacha. I'm actually not really sure what he means by that. I look back at all the context. He's now quoting, I think it's the Ramban, actually, but I don't know. I have to see this footnote. He who does not mourn for his dead relatives as prescribed by the sages is cruel. But he who grieves more than is customary is stupid, because he doesn't realize it's part of Hashem's plan. This is the standard of halachic man in the affective realm, in his behavior. Therefore, the great halachists did not approve of wild dancing, unruly celebrations, and drunkenness, even for the sake of piety. Right? They weren't into crazy porn. It is related concerning the Gaon of Vilna, how greatly he would rejoice as a plus Torah during the Akavos. He would dance, clap, sing, and celebrate the occasion in a state of great rapture and enthusiasm. He was really mamish getting into it. However, immediately afterward, upon the conclusion of the Akavos, he would revert back to his normal tranquil state. I saw recently that the Vilna Gaon said it's important to have the Suda early on Purim, so that you can be in the Beis Medrash as soon as it's nighttime again. Because if you're going to have the Suda late, how are you going to learn on Motzei Purim? There's no Simcha, there's no Mitzvah Simchas Purim. At least there's no Iker Simcha, no Iker Mitzvah Simchas Purim. Okay? That's not the minute. He would dance, clap, sing, and did I just read that? However, immediately afterwards, upon the conclusion of the Hakavos, he would revert back to his normal tranquil state. When the Gaon's brother died, and the Gaon learned of it on the Shabbos, he did not display any emotion or signs of grief. After the Shabbos, when he concluded the Havdalah, he burst into tears. I mean, to say that the idea of kind of realizing that it's all from a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and also I think the idea I had to be in control of my emotions, in control of my whole being. There's a very intense discipline when it means that I need to use everything I have to serve Hashem. That means that I control it doesn't control me. Okay. The beloved daughter of Eliyahu Prujna, I think it might have been a grandfather or great-grandfather of Rav Soloveitchik, something like that. Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Moshe were somehow like second cousins from his mother's side. Took sick about a month before she was to be married, and after a few days was rapidly sinking. Rav Eliyahu's son entered into the room where Rav Eliyahu wrapped in talisman's fill and was davening with the congregation to tell him that his daughter was in her death throes. Rav Eliyahu went into his daughter's room and asked the doctor how much longer it would be until the end. When he received the doctor's reply, Rav Eliyahu returned to his room, removed his Rashi tefillin, quickly put on the tefillin prescribed by Rabbeinu Tam. Immediately upon his daughter's death, he would be an Onen. A mourner whose dead relative has not as yet been buried, and as such would be subject to the laws of Onen, After he removed the second pair of tefillin, wrapped them up, and put them away, he entered his dying daughter's room in order to be present at the moment. His most beloved daughter of all would return her soul back to its maker. We have here great strength and presence of mind, the acceptance of the divine decree with love, the consciousness of the law and the judgment, the might and power of the halacha, and faith strong like flint, which is very intense, very, very intense. Wow. Some said Rav Soloveitchik actually meant to be critical there, like it's a little bit too intense, but I think Pashas is not. In the essay Catharsis, which we don't have time to develop, but I recommend looking at it. The idea, well, first of all, the lesson of catharsis. I'm not even sure if the word catharsis appears in the essay. It must. The word catharsis means to purify. What's that? Catharsis could be the release of emotions, but that's like, right, something that's cathartic, right? The idea that somehow it's something is a release of emotions, sling is raised up. Whatever, you have to see look at the dictionary. But the idea of Soloveitchik's main thrust is contrasting the idea of the gibor in the world with the gibor of halacha, the ezu gibor akovish es yitzro. But the idea that to be an eved Hashem, you have to purify all of the realm of all human experience and emotions and all the way we experience the world through discipline. You're controlling them. That's the whole idea of halacha, is that we're supposed to be in this world enjoying, using, building, improving the world and also ourselves. But the way that we do that without kind of getting out of control is that in each realm where we experience the world, to be able to give in, discipline ourselves to give in and say, I have to stop what I'm doing and accept the fact that Hashem told me to stop. And after that, I can continue on. That's the idea. That's the secret to being Eved Hashem. That's the secret to Kedusha. But in Toch Kedei this, Rav Soloveitchik has a whole discussion of Aaron. What did I say? Which pages here? 47 through 49. Okay, good. So I'm at 45. Okay, so it says, let me illustrate the halachic idea of inner withdrawal or emotional catharsis. Aaron the high priest met with disaster on the most joyous day of his life when the tabernacle was dedicated and he was inaugurated into his office. Two of his sons died. Death is always the great evil which man cannot accept. It is certainly unacceptable to a father whose grief over the loss of a son is limitless. How much more so the unreasonable death of two sons who had entered the sanctuary to worship and to serve the Lord and were devoured by a fire from the Lord. Moshe addressed the following words to Aaron, right? He said, okay, Vayidam Aaron. Moshe enjoined Aaron and his children from mourning for Nadav and Avihu. Aaron and his two surviving sons were enjoined from shedding a tear for them. Why? Because the priests constituted a community of the anointed who are consecrated exclusively to the service of the Lord. The inalienable right to which every parent is entitled of mourning the death of a child was denied to Aaron and his sons. The commitment or consecration of a priest to God is ultimate, all-demanding and all-inclusive. You can say you are now in the role of the Chanukah Samishkan and you have to accept that, as unbelievable as that is. He was not even free to give himself over to the grief precipitated by the loss of his two sons. He had no private world of his own. Even the heart of Aaron was divine property. What does all this mean in psychological terms? God wanted Aaron to disown the strongest emotion in man, the love for a child. Is it possible? As far as modern man is concerned, I would not dare answer. With respect to biblical man, we read that Aaron acted in accordance with the divine instruction, Vayasu Kedvar Moshe. And then Rav Soloveitchik talks about the idea of Avelos and Avelos in Yom Tov, that this incredibly impossible challenge to Aaron is actually given Chalila, potentially to Klal Yisrael, in terms of stopping Avelos for Yom Tov. And he just says at the end of that discussion, the halacha suggests a man broken in body and spirit, carrying the burden of an absurd existence, that he changes mood, that he casts off his grief and chooses joy. Let us repeat the question, is such a metamorphosis of the state of mind of an individual possible? Can one make the leap from utter bleak desolation and hopelessness into joyous trust? Can one replace the experience of monstrosity with the feeling of highest meaningfulness? I have no right to judge. However, I know of people who attempted to perform this greatest of all miracles. Wow. This leap is certainly heroic. It is less spectacular than the death of an Achilles, yet it is more heroic, more redeeming, because it is performed in humility and in the hush of a dark night of loneliness. Wow, wow, wow. Very powerful. So the idea of Rav Soloveitchik, I think that this whole perspective fits in very nicely with the Ramban's approach. According to Rashi, according to Ibn Ezra, it seems like the purpose of Moshe's discussion with Aaron was to encourage him, was to console him. It could be there's also that maybe according to the Ramban. But according to the Ramban, the ikar is, we don't know why. We didn't even know this until now. Hashem never told me a year ago this is going to happen. There's no pasuk saying, when Hashem says it's going to happen, it means he goes there, this is supposed to happen, and it happened. It had to happen, and we have to accept that. Vayidom Aaron, and he was crying, and he was able to control himself to a great extent. That's the idea of halacha. It's very demanding. Mir Hashem, 99% of the time, 0.9% of the time, it's supposed to be one which is consistent with how we'd want to experience our emotions, how we'd want to live. But at certain points, there's the idea of control. That's dafka, the continuation in the parsha, the idea of kashrus, the idea of control, the idea of not being always giving ourselves over to how we want to be. If that's in emotionally or in terms of taivas, if that's in terms of psychological, whatever it is, the idea of being an Eved Hashem is the fertile ground from which being Eved Hashem grows is discipline and control. And from that Emir to Hashem, the person can continue on to living a life which is full of simcha and full of full of just living in the most healthy, natural kind of way, but one which is then purified and on a much higher level of kedusha. Okay, Adkan.